we got a lot of people that are out of town this week. And I was like, man, when we set Jeff's date, it was just a date. He spoke at another church last Sunday, speaking at another church next Sunday, and we're going to be gone the following Sunday before he leaves to go. I think the 6th, October 6th is when he's leaving to go, October 8th. And, man, I had a bunch of people say, man, we're not going to be there Sunday. We're not going to be there Sunday. And so I hate it. I hate it they're not here, but they also know where to give, so they can sow into that. But I'm glad you're here. And, Jeff, we're thankful, so thankful for you and your heart toward the kingdom, not just the people of the Philippines, but for the kingdom. And, you know, we live our lives trying to be kingdom people. And when I say kingdom, I mean, it's bigger than just, oh, I got saved and I'm punching my ticket to heaven and I'm going to go hang out with Jesus for eternity. When you're a kingdom person, you're looking at everything as bigger than you, bigger than the scope of what you feel like you're immediately touching. And thank you for being a kingdom person, Jeff. It not only speaks volumes, but it releases volumes. And so I'm going to ask Jeff to come up, and he's going to share. He's got a video, slides for us to watch, whatever you want to call it. Documentary, awesome. So we're looking forward to that. Do you want the pulpit up here? I'm gonna hand you the mic and I'm gonna get that for you.
Okay. We'll get set up here in a minute. I'll get my notes out because public speaking is not my thing. I'm a James Christian. I'm a doer of the word, but I'm gonna gut it out and share my heart. And after the documentary, I'm probably gonna cry because I do every time. But I appreciate everybody that's here today. Oh, yeah. Wait a minute. Ashley Sheridan wants to speak. Yeah. Okay. That's good. I'll give this to Ashley Sheridan. Ashley is what we call, since Sharon was in the Philippines, I call her Ashley. I look up to her as a big sister, and that's what Ashley means.
I want to thank y'all for being here. And something, Lori, that you said about, you know, if Jesus is in it, you know, it's going to be used. His name's going to be exalted. That kind of struck a chord with me. But if you're part of Jess' family, stand up just for a quick second. I know it's awkward. Just stand up quickly. All right. Thank y'all so much. But I just want y'all to see. Y'all can sit back down. I want y'all to see that, you know, Jeff had a lot to walk away from. He had a family. He has had a career. He had a retirement that he financially that he no longer has, you know. So there was a lot to walk around for him to walk away from. But God has used it. And Sid mentioned, and part of the worship, everything was very much online that, you know, God's message went out primarily at the beginning with 12 people, you know, and though we may be small in numbers, there's more than 12 people here today, and his message, you know, was carried on the back of one donkey, and there's more than one donkey in here today, me being the chiefest, you know, and I want to thank this church for loving, seriously. I mean, this church loves me when I am inappropriate, when I was lost, when I was just playing, when I step back, when I come in. They don't do that just for me. They do that for y'all, too. This church definitely has a covering, and it is small, but it is very, very mighty. So as we come in today, I don't want anybody in here to be like Judas or anybody else who witnessed one of the great miracles of Jesus, but just witnessed it. Man, that was great. And then you go on about what you were doing. That's the saddest thing in the world if you can miss what God is doing. And I think that we are at a time here today where I don't want us to miss what God is doing, you know. Robin, you know, thank you for sowing into this. But you didn't sow into just that. You have sown into this church. You have sown into these people. This floor is probably primarily 90% wet with the tears of Robin's worship. And she is here this morning. So I just want to publicly say, step into your mantle. Step back into your mantle. This mantle is here, but it's with you. Step into it. My little vault group that's here, one's in the kitchen. Thank y'all for covering me. Sid and Lori, Marty and Krista, you know, I don't hang out with them, but I know that they love me. Jeff, I knew a long time ago. We're connected. He worked in the police department. I worked at the ambulance service. And we used to kind of make fun of Jeff. I don't mean this in an ugly way because he was so soft-spoken. We used to laugh. If we were robbing a bank, we would want Jeff to come, hey, put your hands up. It's like, y'all keep going. I said, stop. Hurry up. Here comes Jeff. Put your hands up. Because he did not speak. He was very, very quiet, very, very shy, very, very reserved. This is so out of his comfort zone, but Jesus got inside of him and has changed him from the inside out. I know 20 years ago, Jeff had no idea when we were sitting sometimes in Sunday school where he was going to be 20 years later. He had no idea. None of us did. And we're at a 10-year anniversary. Amen. That in and of itself is a miracle. It may not seem like much, but we are witnessing truly a miracle. And we all have an opportunity to be a part of that miracle. So y'all come in this morning with open hearts. You're at a place that loves you, Jeff. Casey, you're at a place with people that love you and stand with you. That's what this church is. We're not huge in numbers, as you can tell, but this church is called to do very mighty things, and that we do. We have a reputation, and it is a good one. And I just want y'all to open up your hearts and your mind to what God has for us on this day at this present time. That's why children are here. They witness it. They see it. Playing on the soccer field, doing their gymnastics, playing in their backyards. It is all the next round going on. It's coming along. So I love y'all. I don't want you to miss what Jeff has for you. And then stay and share meal. We've even got some Filipino food, but I picked very normal Filipino food, so y'all don't panic. And there's also American food back there, too. But stay and fellowship. That's what he needs more than anything, really, is to join hands and fellowship with him. Sending him a text, writing him a note or an email. That's what he needs besides just financial support. It's that, hey, brother, I'm thinking about you. Hey, brother, I'm praying for you. But I would just like to pray a quick prayer over us before he gets started. If y'all don't mind, if y'all would join, I would appreciate it. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you with humble hearts. We come before you with grateful hearts. And Lord, I'm so grateful for the way this church loves you. And I pray that we can remove preconceived ideas, preconceived notions, preconceived worries even over our own finances, and our eyes set so firmly on you, realizing we can't outgive you, we can't outlove you, we can't outperform you. And Lord, I pray your spirit would fall and remind us of the connections that bind us together. And today we lift you up, God. And we are most grateful to be your children. Holy Spirit, come. We welcome you here. And as we listen to this message and see this video, we worship you. And it's in the name of your Son. Amen. Thank y'all.
Wow. Thank you, Addie. Let me get my notes straight and we'll get started here in just a minute. Good morning, y'all. And Sabana, and it's Gumpia Sicilum. Who wants to try that? You want to try that? It's kind of hard. They always make fun of me when I speak their language because they say, Sir Jeff, your language, your Visayan or Sabanan is very slang. I'm like, well, you should hear my English, my normal English, because I use a Filipino English there. My goodness, I lost my place. There we go. I just want to start out, Holy Spirit just kind of changed it up for me. He likes doing that during worship. How many times has he done you that way, Sydney? Like several times. I want to start by reading the Great Commission out of Matthew 28:19 through 20. And the ESV version is one of my favorite. And it says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. All right, that just chokes me up. Just this one version of this one sentence in that those verses, and I am with you always. Not sometimes, but always. When I left here last time, I got back to a mess. I mean, like, it was a mess. Stuff I had to deal with the whole time. 2.5 years, it was one thing after another. But when I read this the other day, through all that, God was with me always. So I needed that because I know when I go back in a few weeks, He's going to be with me always. When another mess comes or something else I have to deal with, He's going to be with me throughout that. Okay, that was what I changed up. My introduction, my call to missions actually began when I was a teenager in a Baptist church. A missionary came to Calvary Baptist Church here in Bremen, and I knew that God had an anointing on my life to be a missionary. I didn't know what it looked like, through the trials of life, tribulations. I just kind of walked away from that. I got out of church for a long time through my teenage years, and then I finally started going back to church, and eventually I found Victory Fellowship. That's where I really started to walk with Jesus. That's where I really started my walk with Jesus. And God's hand remained on me the whole time. Even when I walked away, He never stopped loving me. And eventually, I started the mission stuff. And He was just preparing me for the day I said, "Yes, Lord, here I am, send me." Just a long story short, I went on my very first mission trip in 2004 to Uganda, Africa with my eldest son, Cody. And it was there God just reiterated that, yeah, this is what I want you to do. And I just kind of, started that, just kind of filed it away. Then again, in 2011, I went on another mission trip to Uganda, Africa. I don't know what it's about Uganda, Africa, but God, that's where God really likes to speak to me. And I was on a mission trip there, and I knew I was going to eventually start doing mission work. So I asked my missionary friends, I would like to go to some other countries and see how other missionaries are. And I asked them if they knew any missionaries in Guatemala or the Philippines. Coincidence? I think not. They didn't know any missionaries in Guatemala, but they knew a missionary that used to work with them that was from Carrollton that was in the Philippines. So they put me in contact with her the very next year. I took off, went to the Philippines for the first time, and it was on that mission trip I heard about the Sabanan tribe. Coincidence? No, I don't think so. And how dangerous the island of Mindanao was, and I shouldn't go there. And that's really, really, really intrigued me because I like doing things I shouldn't do and going places. My mom can testify to that, doing things that I shouldn't do. So I went back to the Philippines the next year. It was on that mission trip I met Sir Danny. We actually became friends. Him and his wife have an outreach there in Sindangan as well. But and it was on that mission trip. I woke up one morning. I love the band Switchfoot. Whitney loves the band Switchfoot. And there's this song from the Narnia soundtrack. This is home. I woke up singing that. So the lyrics to that song. And that's where I knew that's where God was calling me to do the mission work. I came back the next year and started making plans, future plans to do start doing fundraising, because it's like it's not easy. It takes years to build up the funds to go on a mission trip. But, of course, God has other plans. And he on the 10-year anniversary of March 13th, 2014, the Holy Spirit inspired me to turn in my notice at work. So I did. I have a copy of it in my Bible. Being a good missionary, I left my missionary mission Bible in the Philippines. I had to get me a new one. But I turned in my notice and said I would be on June 23rd. I would be quitting my job. I didn't know. I didn't have a clue what I was doing. But I just followed the unction of the Holy Spirit and just quit. Sold off. Started selling all my stuff. Gave stuff away. And by July, I was headed over to the Philippines. I stayed on one island for a few weeks, and before I went to this dangerous island of Mindanao, and I got there, and I was kind of like on the church tour, like think it's bad here. It like everywhere I went, I had to speak. So I was going to churches, I was going to wakes, I was going to birthday parties of people I didn't know, have a clue who they were, and I had to speak, I had to pray. I'm like, and that was really, really totally out of my comfort zone. But during that time, I was just learning the culture, and I still didn't know what God wanted me to do. I'm like, why am I here, Lord? And I kept praying that, and then I came back. I was actually here in August to October, same time period I am. Here, I was gearing up to go back to my second trip. I still didn't have a clue what I was doing. And I went back the second trip and still on the event tours, as I like to call it, the Americano tours. That's what they call us, Americanos. And I was going here, going there. I was just like exhausted. I had this one family that would just take me weird places. Once they took me to the beach to relax for a weekend, and they say, "Hey, let's go to this place in the mountains and see the fog." I'm like, "Okay, I want to see the fog. Yeah, it's cold there. You're gonna love it." And I get there, and it's Campo Dos. And then I took the. If you want to get to that slide. I took this picture there. I mean, that's like my iconic picture I actually have. Yeah, and I took that picture there, and I came back. That was late December, and I came back, and God really started speaking to me. That's where you're going to start your ministry. You're going to start a children's outreach at Campo Dos. I'm like, okay. And by May of 2015, we started our kids outreach there. I'm totally off my script here, but it's okay. Then a few years later, I won't spoil the film, but the video, but it explains how I came about the scholarship program. When I left there last year, we had 20 scholars, and when I got back, we ended up with 56 last school year. I kind of overdid it a little bit, but that's how I am. And this year we have 49, 50. So we had one quit, and so we have one that we're adding. Get back on my. And I've always wondered why the Sabanan tribe, why them, Lord? I always ask God why. But we have to look back at their history to for an answer. There's these a long time ago. On another island in Malaysia, there's this group of people, the Malay from the Malay tribe, and judging from their personality, they don't like conflict. So evidently, there was some conflict on their island, so they just ended up on the Zamboanga Peninsula. On the island of Mindanao, to get away from their conflict. And they actually had taken over the whole peninsula. That was their kingdom. They were trading with the Chinese. They were trading with the Spanish. I mean, like, everybody came there to trade stuff with them. And eventually the Muslims came from the south. The Mora people came up from the south, and they started taking them as slaves. And then the Visayan people came in from the north. So this once thriving Sabanan land, they just abandoned it and kind of fled to the hills. and where they are now. Majority of them are there now. And the Sabanan word, which is not really a coincidence, is Suba. Suba means river in Visayan, so they were the river people. And I got to praying about that, and I know God had given me a vision that out of the Sabanan tribe, there's going to be a revival birth for the Zamboanga Peninsula. And who knows, it may have spread out all over Mindanao. And I didn't really understand that, but it's their land, number one, their original tribal land, and they're not going to retake the land physically, but spiritually. So the revival is going to birth out of them and just take over this land. And just blows me away to actually be a part of it. And seeing the, not just our scholars, but the other Sabanan churches in the area just exploding, growing within their tribe. And then our scholars are reaching their classmates. And we'll get to the video. I think we're about time ready for the video. But before, man, this video was a fight. A fight to make my first videographer, photographer guy that I hired. He lost everything. Lost all my videos. I have just a few pictures. Then I was like, okay, well, I'll just start doing things myself. So I started making some videos myself and trying to send them to my video editor here in the U.S., and the internet was just bad. It was like, Sharon can tell you my struggles with my internet. So I had like this first analog stuff to begin with, and finally I moved to a new apartment and got some I have some good internet, and it's like the wire's getting cut every other week, and finally I have a new provider. It's spot on now. And so I actually started talking to some of my friends, and I actually went to a wedding. And was one of my teacher friends had a wedding, and I saw their video. I'm like, whoa, this is good stuff. So I got talking to him. He hooked me up with his video guy, and I came up with a team. I actually have a team. My videographer, have a script. Somebody wrote our script. I actually had somebody do the narration in it. And we just came up and just watching that vision of what we talked about in our first meeting just come to life. It just really, it's amazing. And I'm going to let you guys watch that. And I'm going to go over here and sit and cry when it finishes.
Of Sindangan, Zamboanga del Norte, lives an indigenous group with a rich cultural heritage, the Sabanan tribe. Their communities are quite far from the center of Sindangan, and the roads going there are quite rough. Through the years, the children in these communities have not been able to finish school, mostly because of financial problems. But now, they have been given hope because of Salt and Light World Missions, led by none other than Jeff Vaughn.
Hi, kumusta? Okay lang? Listen. Cute kayo, Jud? No? Guapo? Wow. Campados, this is where everything started. This is where we started with a children's outreach in 2015. And it was one of those visits on a children's outreach. I was just roaming around trying to ditch the CAFGO that were my bodyguards that I saw this girl. I've been praying that week of, God, show me what breaks your heart. And then I saw this girl playing with some of the other children in Campo Dos. And I inquired about the girl and why she wasn't coming to our outreaches, and they told me she was like 13 or 14 years old, and she was married already. So that really, really concerned me that the girls here are getting married at a young age. I started investigating more, and I found out the boys after grade 6 were just going to work on the farms. They weren't going to school, so I began to pray about it, and then that's when I was inspired to start the scholarship.
Salt and Light World Missions Outreach has become the gateway to starting the scholarships.
In my occasions, the foundation is very active. We give toys, especially during closing ceremony, they give medals.
Our big outreach is Christmas time, so we do a toy drive in June in the U.S. People donate toys, and then they ship them here, and usually they're here by November, and by December for Christmas, we go to different locations and give out toys to the children.
In mahatag dayon si Sir Ogan na bitong mga chinelas, raincoat, dayon katong mga dulaan, mga jacket, mga nindot kaayo.
We were here in Capodos last Christmas and Dipadog. The first time the children in Dipadog ever got a toy in their lives. It was really rewarding.
Engagement of Sir Jeff in TTIC was the distribution of school supplies to our students, giving also sleepers and other important things for the students and the people in TTIC.
The children here in Benigno Aquino Elementary School are already motivated to go to school. But they are much more motivated when the foundation, the Salt and Light Mission, came into our school, headed by Sir Jeff.
One of the things we like to do is keep the children encouraged by giving the top student in every grade an academic award and whoever the teacher nominates a character award. So every grade will get the award for the Academic Achievement Award or the Character Award.
Napoy time nga ang mga bata luya. Pero because of that incentives that are given by Sir Jeff, the Salt and Light Missions, they are eager to go to school.
I found that visiting the houses, they will display the awards on the walls, which is really cool. So to go in the house and you see a Salt and Light Excellent Award or a Salt and Light Academic Award is really, really cool.
Because of the rarity of children finishing school in these communities, they really value the awards that their children receive in school. That's why they hang it up on their wall for display.
And the other thing we do at the school is we give the top graduating grade 6 pupil a scholarship, a Salt and Light scholarship. And the top 2 and 3 are eligible to take our qualification exam.
About sa mga scholars diri nga gikuha ni Sir, okay kay sila. Nagpasalamat kay sila nga kitagaan sila og oportunidad ni Sir Jeff nga maka-eskwela dito sa Ubos, makapadayon sa ilang pagtuon, kay wala gyud din taon sila ikagasto. Labi na dyan to bitang mga apike, ang kuha mga apike man dyan kaayo nga mga bata. Then pagbalik, karami itong mabalik sila diri, kay mukuhig sila ni Sir Jeff, kay mahatag na po, kuyugun man sila ni Sir Jeff diri. uy, mga kwalit na sila ulawon, nindot na kayo sila, haslag din. Mga bright naman kayo, mga bata. Ah, ano sila. Then, ang ubang mga bata nga nag-eskwila, diri, nangkamot yun sila nga, makuha sila, no, sila yung top 1 ba, top 2, karon makuha na po sila ng Sir Jeff.
And as teachers, we're very happy to see that our deserving pupils continue their schooling through this foundation. And we are very much grateful and thankful to the benefactor, Sir Jeff.
What truly inspired me is the challenging part of the Subanen students in Titik, in which they are really doing their best just to complete their study, but the financial matter hinders their ambition to continue studies.
Most of the children live far from the schools, so they would have to walk an hour or more each day just to go to school and back.
Lasingko as 4 pakapin sa buntag, lasingko magbaklay na. Ibutang nila ilang kwanana kay magbutang sila og katong ilang suoton jud sa eskwelahan kay mahamog man to rin ila tong ihalay din igbalik man ko to ilang suoton pabalik dito sa kwarto mo kwan naman to ilang tong ihalay dito dapit atong daplin sa subay.
One other factor is the weather. Because of the long walks, some of them would go home drenched and some would not be able to go to school because of the harsh weather.
One of the scholars from here in Campo Dos, she's actually walking from Campo Dos to Mandy just to come to our interview. It took her like 3 hours to get there, so she automatically got the scholarship just for that. When we actually had expanded, we had two girls from here that became our scholars, and one of the girls was there for about a week, and she quit, went back home, and our scholar, Erna Lynn, just showed up at my apartment. The girls were staying at my apartment. The boys were at the boarding house. She just showed up in my apartment, and I'm like asking her, "Who are you?" She's like, "Sir, I will be your scholar now." I'm like, "Okay." I mean, can you say no to that? That's determination. Her father isn't in the picture, and I went on to adopt her as one of my children, kind of. She looks up to me as her father figure. And my mom is actually her sponsor.
Nakita nako mga maigid nga masuportahan ang atong mga IP learners nga mga bata labi na ning layo kayo og high school kay dako jud kay katabang sa ilang kinabuhi ang ilang pag-eskwela kuan ka nang dako kayong kakulangon no kung walay mag-support nila financially posible nga di nila mahuman gani ilang high school kay dili man jud ka afford nga magpa-eskwela sa ubos.
Once the children become a part of the scholarship program, they're housed together with the other scholars. Depending on the location of the high school, they'll be rented a boarding house or provided a bunkhouse. Currently, there are two separate boarding houses in Poblacion Sindangan, one for the boys and one for the girls. Each of the boarding houses have house parents that guide them on their journey while they're a part of the Salt and Light Scholarship.
Kanang mga host parents, mga college students na sila nga nakita po ang potential nga magdala sa mga scholars. Kay kinahanglan atong scholars nga naapoy mag-support nila na morally, no, sa kuan, spiritually diha sa ilang mga boarding house.
The children follow some routines throughout the day. They learn to cohabitate and support each other, improving their social and leadership skills in the process. When preparing food, they either use a gas tank or firewood to cook.
I
They also have access to clean water to do their laundry, take a bath, or wash dishes. Depending on the availability, it's either a faucet or a manual water pump. In the evening, they always make time to do Bible study before studying and going to bed. It's one of the things that bond them and bring them closer to each other and the Almighty Creator. As they are all given equal opportunity to lead in this gathering, they become more comfortable speaking in front of their peers.
The future plan is to build our dorms in Sindangan. So we can have these scholars there and have our own place, and we can have events and like that, and then build satellite dorms in several different schools in the mountains. So we would build one at build a second one at T-Tech and build one at Tenaplan, Bowagon, and here there's another high school here and near Campados, and we would build one there. Maybe, who knows? We can cover all these schools in the Sindangan area and maybe branch out into Cheyenne. So I won't limit it just to Sindangan.
Salt and Light World Missions aims to help Subanen children have a better future, providing scholarships and financial support for junior and senior high schoolers. So, if you want to show your support for this cause, you can do so by going to our website at saltandlightworldmissions.org/donate. With your help, we can make a difference in these children's lives.
Thank you, Salt and Light. Balat, balat, Salt and Light.
Wow. So now you guys get to see what I've been doing over the past 10 years. Or I should rephrase that, what God's been doing. From humble beginnings. Wow. Let me gather myself a minute. Then I want to expand a little on the scholarship program. We're starting to see fruit. So we've had 9 of our scholars graduate the past 3 years. 8 of the 9 are actually going on to college. One of them is in her third year of nursing as a nursing student. Our second graduate, she's in her second year in criminology. They all look up to Whitney. Then our new graduates, we have them studying, one studying IT, one studying physical education. Several are studying to be social welfare workers, and one is studying business ed. So not only are we changing the lives of the children, but this is going to go on and to impact their families as well. Our scholarship provides them with a place to stay. We have two boarding houses we rent in Sindangan, one for the boys and one for the girls. We have a bunkhouse in T-Tech. We just renovated a small teacher's cottage for our scholars in Tenaplan. and we're about to renovate a second one in this new school called Chassin. So we'll have them there. Our TTIC bunkhouse, we're going to actually sit where it's up for sale. We're going to actually move, transfer it to the school grounds, because trial and error, we found that it's better for it to be there at the school. The teachers will be the ones that kind of manage it for us while we're there. We have house parents. So we have college students that are house parents that are over our scholars. So we have two girls, house parents. We have two girl assistant house parents, since we have more girls than boys in town. And then we have one boy house parent, one assistant. And I'm about to promote another boy to be the assistant. So it's kind of stays in house. We bring the scholars up, and they actually become the house parents. And who knows, maybe one of them is going to take my place in the future when I decide to retire. And I don't know what God's plan is there, but I am looking for someone to do that. The scholarship provides them not only with a place to stay, we provide them three meals a day, so they get their breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They get their school supplies, they get their uniforms, they get a weekly allowance. And the weekly allowance, we just started it, and it's actually based off performance. So to get the most allowance, you have to score a 90. And then if you're going to come in and do the 85, which is our minimum required grade, then you're going to get a base allowance. And if you fall below that, it's going to drop down, and you're going to be put on probation. And then if you go below 80%, then there's no allowance, and they're on real probation for one grading period. And if they can't, then we have no choice but to dismiss them. Unfortunately, over the years, we've had to dismiss a few, but it's very rare. Some quit on their own. I just had one quit. So and that used to bother me when they first started quitting. But then someone said something to me that really struck a chord and said, you know, that one quitting is an answered prayer for one that's waiting. And this is true. This past year, we gave our qualification exam. We had 70 kids show up for 11 positions. And we have over 20 on a waiting list now. So that one boy that quit, we have one that's going to take his place in just a few weeks. So can we expand? Most definitely. I'm going to add four and Chassin. So we're going to be back up to 54. I don't know how my trustees is going to react to that, but it is what it is. And God will provide. That's the one thing that I've experienced this past time. Me overdoing it, getting 56, was a little more than my budget could stand, and way more than my budget could stand. And then there was times that, like, I would have in the bank, I'd have enough money for this week's allowance, and I'm like, that's it, guys. We don't have anything else. So then, lo and behold, here comes somebody writes a check. There it is, and God provides every time. We've never gone without. We've been blessed, and super blessed by you guys being our church. You started as our sponsor 10 years ago when I only had $850 a month coming in for sponsorship to go over there to do I don't know what, and like take care, send stuff for Christmas every year. We had to suspend the Christmas stuff this year because of some shipping issues, but we're coming back full blast next year, so be ready June. And closing, where's my closing notes? In closing, I mean, maybe the Holy Spirit is moving on your hearts to be a part of ministry. It's not just financially, like Sharon said. It's like prayer. My goodness, especially this last year, it's like I mean, every day I need somebody praying for me and praying for the scholars. Miss Linda, she's back in the nursery. I'm sending her a list of the scholars, and she's gonna pray over them every day. I have no doubt about that. Because we have issues. I had I will regress, and I will just share an issue. I had one of my scholars, it was 13 to 14 high school, junior high, some college boy was trying to court her, and that didn't set well with me. The house parent confronted him about it, and he said some bad stuff to her, and she called me crying. I'm like, so off to the boarding house I go, and he learned that wasn't a good idea, because I went from Mr. Easygoing Jeff into police mode very, very, very quick. I was in his face, and yeah, he needless to say, he moved to another place, and he hasn't been back around that girl anymore. So, you guys are always welcome to visit. I have a couple of churches that are going to send teams, just a small team of 2 to 4 people. Always welcome. I mean, the biggest expense is the airfare, but once you get over that, you come see me, stay 2 weeks, and I guarantee you'll be blessed, and a blessing to the scholars. They'll love every minute of it. And then I'll take you to all the schools, and you get to see the other kids that aren't so shy anymore to Americanos. And if God's moving on your heart to sponsor us on a monthly basis, I have my QR codes there. They're out in the back. You can do so, or come see me if you want to sponsor a scholar. I can give you the details on that as well. Just thank you guys so much for the 10 years of blessings and sponsorship. It really, really means a lot. And that's going to be it. Thank you for bearing with me while I spoke, and I hope you enjoyed the video.
Yeah, that video was awesome. You know, as I watched that, the children are children, no matter where you're at. You know, that in watching that could have been just as easily to Sate or in Guatemala, or the villages that we visited in the Masai Mara in Kenya. And I do know this, God loves the little children. Jesus loves the little children. I think about the time when the disciples were trying to dismiss the kids so Jesus could do ministry. And he's like, this is ministry. You know, this is ministry. This is what matters and this is what counts. You know, I guess the thing I love about children is when we come to God, we have all these questions. But when the children come to God, they don't have questions. They just want to be in his presence. You know, we're trying to figure everything out, Brett. And we're like, okay, God, and, you know, what about this and this and this? And we've got all this long list of you know, we're like Nicodemus at night when he came. You know, all these questions answered, and the kids just want to be in his presence. And thank you for helping facilitate that, Jeff. I encourage everybody to jump in and just be a part. You know, it at the end of the day, it takes money to do things in America and in foreign countries, and thankful that we as a people can help facilitate that. I'll remind you what I'm always reminded of, a quote from Bill Johnson, and Bill Johnson always says, never apologize for your blessings, but do something with it. Never, as Americans, because, you know, a lot of times if we go on a mission trip, we'll come back and beat ourselves up, you know, oh, we're rich, spoiled Americans and all that. And I love that. He says, don't apologize for your blessings, but do something with it. Make it count for something. So let's go eat some food and have some fellowship and, you know, bless the ministry in the process. So I think Errol and him are probably ready back there. And Brenda, they ready to roll back there? I imagine so. They're ready? Okay. Well, let's stand to our feet and we'll bless this, okay? Amen. I'm going to have, I'll put a basket back in the fellowship hall. for donations. And you can make your checks out to Salt and Light Missions. Just do Salt and Light Missions. You get baskets, aren't? Thank you, guys. Or you can, you know, if you're don't do, I'm old school. I still do checks. You know, you can do all the Venmo and all that stuff. Bones can help us out on all of that, but Zelle or whatever all the stuff is. But just so into the ministry. Great to see you guys. Let's just enjoy some good food and some good fellowship. And I'm going to ask Cindy Hardy, if you will, to just bless this for us, okay?